All right, book club, day 13. In today's chapter, we find that there's this common misconception that humans have, that the tempters are aware of, that we fear that if we give ourselves to God, we'll lose ourselves entirely. This was something I struggled with a lot. You know, I remember, I think it was a couple weeks ago now that I mentioned that I was challenged one Lent to give up sarcasm. The hard thing about that was not that I was going to miss being sarcastic or whatever, but I just really felt like being on the Christian journey and the character changes I was forced to make, the just many differences and changes to my lifestyle, to my hobbies, and all of that that I needed to make were, man, I was just like, I'm not even myself anymore. I don't even know who I am. Right? I really felt like I was losing myself. Now, the parts of me that I was losing were let's say, very worth losing, right? And so this wasn't something that I should be concerned about or sad about, but rather be rejoicing in. But I recognize that this is a reality for many of us, right? That this is, it's hard, you know? It's hard to lose yourself. It's hard to lose who you feel like you were, the things your identity has been wrapped up in. These are not easy changes to make. And in this chapter, we see the devil kind of point this out and why that's actually a foolish fear. It's an irrational fear. And so one thing on page one that I really liked, not page one, but page 63 that I really appreciated on this chapter is he talks about how there's sometimes, he calls this asphyxiating cloud, which prevented your attacking the patient while on his walk back from the old mill. It is a well-known phenomenon. It is the enemy's most barbarous weapon and generally appears when he is directly present to the patient under certain modes not yet fully classified. And this is the part that I really appreciate. He said, some humans are permanently surrounded by it and therefore inaccessible to us. That line, I think, kind of points to this fact that one, there's one of two things, both of which I believe. I don't think you're obliged to believe either of these things. No, I think you're probably obliged to believe the first one. The first one is that we contribute through our actions and through our compliance with God's will for our lives, we contribute to our holiness, right? We don't contribute to it, but we cooperate with God's grace. And the decisions that we make determine, right, how close we're going to be to God or not. That's the basic math, is basic idea and understanding of sin and grace. And so that's the first thing. And so this recognizes that some humans cooperate so well with God's grace that they're permanently in this cloud that makes them untouchable by the demons. Sounds like a pretty good place to be, right? The second thing to this is that I think there's also this reality that God loves some people more than others. This is a controversial take of mine. It's not a super unpopular take, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't love everyone. He loves everyone enough to die on the cross for us, which is pretty massive and I think sufficient. But I think there's a reality that he has favorites. And I think you can see this through certain saints. You can see this even in the Gospels, right? He had his favorite apostle. And so God, I think, just has his favorites. And there's certain people, I think, like us, I think of a St. Thomas Aquinas, who was given an incredible intellect, given an incredible life. St. Therese of Lisieux is another one, where they're just super holy and almost untouchable from the jump, right? And it's hard to not imagine that God loves some of those people more. And that's okay. We don't have to be envious of that, but just a reality. And really cool to think that there's some people that are just off limits to the demons. And so let's strive to not be our own inhibitors. If God wants to make us one of those people, it'd be a good place to be for sure. He says that real pleasure was the last thing you want to let people have on the second page. And I think that's so powerful as well, thinking about that. What is a real pleasure in your life? When I read this, I thought about when I go home and I get to see my wife, my son, and my dog. It's probably the best part of my day every day. And that's what real pleasure is. Just a little bit ago, when I was preparing for this, I was reading a few chapters in the chapel and just spending some time with the Lord, praying through how these things affect my own life, and was just having another sense and experience of real pleasure. Scoring on somebody in basketball, a real pleasure in life. There's so many things, right? Watching the University of Michigan get the dub, a real pleasure. So The devil doesn't want us to have these real pleasures, right? He wants us to have these false pleasures or even ideally no pleasures at all. But he'll settle for some of these empty, temporary pleasures. Because once you experience the real pleasures of a beautiful walk, of a hike, of the beauty of God, right? Of the beauty of creation. These spiritual experiences, these mountaintop experiences I've referenced before, then you're not as interested in the low level, shallow, empty joys and experiences that you've had before. The next thing, so this is where he talks about losing himself, and then we'll get into this kind of idea of inaction, right? And being too caught up in your head. This, again, I really, really felt this, and I really relate to this when I was going through my conversion. I've since experienced the opposite, and so I don't worry about it as much now, but I think that it is a huge concern for anybody who's earlier on in their conversion. And so this is something for us to be aware of for other people and for ourselves as we're going through our own ongoing and continuous conversion, right? He says he really likes the little vermin. So Screwtape talking about God, referring to us as the little vermin, and sets an absurd value on the distinctness of every one of them. When he talks of their losing their selves, he only means abandoning the clamor of self-will. Once they have done that, he really gives them back all their personality and boasts, I am afraid sincerely, that when they are wholly his, they will be more themselves than ever. That, I think, is a beautiful sentence. You will be more yourself than ever. Think about this from the perspective of God. You know, if we change the pronouns here and we not change the pronouns because they're still masculine, but if you change the way that this is written, God really loves each and every one of us and sets an absurd value on the distinctness of each one of us. When he talks to us about losing ourselves, when God talks about you needing to lose yourself, he only means abandoning the clamor of self-will. Once you have done that, God really gives back to you all of your personality and boasts that when you have wholly given yourself to him, you will be more yourself than ever before. That's a beautiful sentiment to think about, the fact that you don't lose yourself. It was a silly fear of mine to think that I was going to lose myself by giving up sinful ways and mean language and being rude to people and you name it. The reality is that I'm going to become more myself than ever before. I'm more the person that God created me to be. And as you step into that fulfillment of being the man, the woman that God created you to be, there's nothing to miss about your former self. Because you're either going to become the man or woman that God created you to be, or you're going to become the person that devil wants you to be. And so closes out here, I think, with this great thing that we always talk about. And again, this is very Catholic, this idea of faith and works. Faith has to be put into action. Faith without works is dead. I underlined this line in that last paragraph that says, let him do anything but act. The more often he feels without acting, the less he will be able ever to act. And in the long run, the less he will be able to feel. The more he feels without acting, the less he will be able to act. We have these feelings. We have these emotions. My thought that kind of came to mind as I was praying with this is just never delay in doing good. Never delay in doing good. It's so easy to procrastinate. It's so easy to say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I say this all the time. If there's a day and I'm not feeling super motivated and I have a break and I'm like, oh, I should go to the gym. I should go work out. Like, that's the time to go, right? If I'm like, oh, I should go pray in the chapel. I literally, in my office, there is a stained glass window outside of this window that is adjacent to my desk. It is approximately 7 feet away from me right now. The church, the tabernacle, Jesus awaits all day for me there. And yet it's so easy to sit here and just be like, oh, well, I'll do it. You know, I got a 30-minute break later or whatever. Whenever I have that first moment of inspiration. Today, when I went over there to pray and read, there was the cleaning crew was here. And they said, hey, do you want us to vacuum your office? I said, yes, that'd be great. Let me get out of your way. I said, you know what? Actually, let me grab my Screwtape letters and just go get my prayer time on. And those are the little wins. Those are the things that the devil doesn't want us to do. When you have that inclination to do good, just do it. Don't delay. Consider, overthink when it comes to sinning. Just act when it comes to doing something that you know is good. You're never going to regret it. You're never going to regret, even if you're tired, going to confession, going to adoration, going to daily mass. You're going to regret the sins that you choose to do, right? And at the end of our life, we're going to regret a lot of the times we chose not to do the good things, our passiveness, our the things we've done, the things we failed to do, right? So be prone to action. Something about being excellent is definitely being prone to action, because it's so easy to be in a passive and to not take the action necessary to be excellent, to be great in life. Greatness is a habit. Let's never forget that. All right, my friends, I will see you tomorrow. God bless you.